Welcome to the show, everyone. I am Trish Regan. We are brought to you in part by Legacy Precious Metals, our wonderful friends over at legacypminvestments.com. You can call them at 1-866-589-0560. If you're worried about inflation, as I am, go see these guys. Listen, we got a lot of news to talk about today, a ton of news to talk about today, because that was something. Did you watch any of that testimony from Robert Hur? I mean, unbelievable stuff. I can't wait to get to this. And we also have a situation right now where, as the polls keep showing Donald Trump gaining, CNN is absolutely positively freaking out. Specifically one person over at CNN who has a Sunday show and used to work at Fox with me, that would be Christopher Wallace, is really worried. And so he brought on one guest recently to say some really bad things about how the Democrats need to spin Donald Trump. I'm telling you, this is like going below the belt. Like, that's, I don't know what we've come to. What have we come to? Can you tell me that? CNN's really losing it. The Republicans could be in a little bit of trouble, by the way. Congressman Buck, he's out. And he's catching everyone by surprise. Like, Mike Johnson apparently had no idea this was coming. I'm like, wait a second, didn't we know that he wasn't going to run again? We did. I guess we just didn't know that he was going to exit next week, which means Republicans only have one in majority. And Lara Trump, she's taking no prisoners. She's now head of the RNC with Michael Whatley. And what was the first thing of business? Exactly what she promised she'd do. And I'm totally with her on this. She got rid of 60 people because you know what? You got to cut the fat. You got to be a lean, mean machine if you're really serious about winning in November 2024. Welcome. Great to have you here on this evening. Different time for us, different time. But, you know, it's great to I see so many familiar faces and some new ones as well. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell. Make sure you hit thumbs up. All of that good stuff.
And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
Changed. Can you hear me now? Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to do this show from the very beginning. Am I not? Now, could you hear me earlier? I hope you could. Let me check your comments. So this is how you know it's live. I'm going to look at your comments because you'll tell me if the audio was messed up, won't you guys? Anyway, I mean, this is amazing to me. Jim Jordan for the win. Thank goodness somebody's checking things out there, right? I mean, how is it that they even thought they could do that? How corrupt do you have to be? I mean, this gives us such a tremendous insight into so many other things, does it not? Because now we know that they're meddling. They're meddling in ways that are actually, if you ask me, probably should be illegal, right? Because if there's an independent investigation going on into how Joe Biden classified documents, then what the heck is going on with them trying to say, hey, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that? No, you can't, guys. You can't. It's supposed to be an independent investigation. I'm just trying to pull up your comments if you're watching me here. I mean, this is really, I mean, I just think it's incredibly important that we understand just exactly what lengths this team will go to win, right? I mean, That's a mean crowd when they're actually trying to get involved and alter perhaps what you're seeing. A very crazy crowd. Good to have you here. It looks like we're good. Looks like we are good. Don, you're right. Like, no, Drew's actually off tonight. I'm laughing. You guys are getting me all sidetracked. Drew is off tonight. So that's why, you know, this is happening. Okay. So you know what? I got to start from the beginning. You know what? You didn't even hear what I was saying. I'm sorry about that. But, the point is, first of all, we want to thank our friends over at legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560, legacypminvestments.com. You know them all, Charles Thorngren. He's been in our chats many times. He's been on the show many times. If you're worried about inflation, as you know I have been and I continue to be, you really ought to give them a call because they can help navigate these very, very choppy waters. Inflation is an issue. We're up 18%. Since this guy came to office. Think about that. Think about that, right? And I don't see it getting much better. I really don't for the foreseeable future. Not when you're dealing with $43 trillion in debt. So call them at 1-866-589-0560. I'm pretty sure they can help you out. And you're welcome to use my name. You know, hey, a little name dropping never hurts, right? But I'm astonished, absolutely astonished that the White House would go this far. Jim Jordan just proved the whole thing. He asked Robert Hur in the testimony today, okay, so you wrote up this report and you gave it to the White House ahead of time because they asked for a copy and they asked for changes. Think about that, guys. They asked for changes. You can't do the changes. This is a huge discovery. I mean, this should be blasted on every single newspaper from here to the West Coast, east to west, and everywhere in between. You know what? This is a big, big deal. But nobody's going to report on this. No. It's me, I'll report on it because, you know, like, I'm an honest broker. And I think that this is pretty pathetic that the Biden White House was trying to intervene in a report that was about to come out that talked about the president's use and misuse of confidential classified documents. Don't forget, this is a guy who kept those documents. Oh, he's so proud of telling us where? In the garage next to his Corvette, remember?
Classified material. Next to your Corvette, what were you thinking?
I'm going to get a chance to speak on all this, God willing, soon. But as I said earlier this week, people, and by the way, my Corvette's in a locked garage. Okay, so it's not like you're sitting out in the street.
But anyway, it was in a locked garage.
Yes, as well as my Corvette. As I said earlier this week, people know I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said we're cooperating fully and completely with the Justice Department's review. As part of that process, my lawyers reviewed other places where documents from my time as vice president were stored, and they finished the review last night. They discovered a small number of documents of classified markings in storage areas and file cabinets in my home and my personal library. This was done in the case of the Biden Penn Center. The Department of Justice was immediately, as was done, the Department of Justice was immediately notified, and the lawyers arranged for the Department of Justice to take possession of the document. So you're going to see, we're going to see all this unfold. I'm confident. Thank you very much.
Classified material next to your Corvette. What were you thinking?
I'm going to get a chance to speak on all this, God willing, soon. But
absolutely, positively, unbelievable. Joe Biden, what you did was actually illegal, okay? Because don't forget, you had that little ghostwriter and you released some of these documents to the ghostwriter. Well, it turns out in the investigation, Robert Hur, he found everything out. I mean, why you're not getting tried on this, that's another thing we got to talk about. I mean, the good news for Robert Hur is I guess he's got everybody angry at him because it's like, why wouldn't you try him? He explains why to Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is just brilliant, just brilliant. I'm going to show you some of that too. But keep in mind what Jim Jordan was able to discover here, ladies and gentlemen. Listen again to Jim Jordan asking the question, hey, did the White House try to intervene? And what did we learn? Yes.
And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
Huh. Can you believe that? They're requesting edits to the draft? Seriously? But, you know, he still left everything in there about how the president is really kind of not seeming like he's a young, spry thing. I mean, he's too old, right? He's got what seems like, dare I say, he didn't use these words, but dementia. Because in the exchange, we learned that the president couldn't remember when his son had died. That's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a really, really big deal. I want to play a little excerpt for you of Robert Hur himself talking about these issues. I mean, tremendous guy. By the way, just on background, what I know about him, first of all, he works for a terrific law firm, one of those white shoe fancy law firms in D.C. with a, you know, everybody has a terrific pedigree. And I'm told, friends who know him, that he is extremely smart. Extremely smart. So I'm not so sure he's a match for some of these Democrats that were questioning him, especially the likes of Eric Swalwell. You remember him? The Fang Fang guy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we know Eric's not that smart. But anyway, he said some really stupid things. And you know what I love about this? I love that Robert Hur just didn't take the bait. And he's like, you know what? I'm here to do this. And you're way off topic, buddy. Swalwell, Fang Fang.
You want to be perceived, understandably, as credible. And so I want to first see if you will pledge to not accept an appointment from Donald Trump if he is elected again as president.
Congressman, I'm not here to testify.
Seems like an easy
about
answer.
What will happen in the
considering
future.
Considering what I just laid out.
I'm here to talk about the report and the work that went into it. And
but you don't want to be associated with that guy again, do you?
Congressman, I'm not here to offer any opinions about what may or may not happen in the future. I'm here to talk about the work that went into the report, which I stand by.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, he's way off track. Swalwell's trying to make this super political, and then the dig, like, you don't want to be associated with that guy anymore, do you? I mean, come on, like, do your job, all right? Just do your job. Oh, but it gets better and better. And I'm telling you know what? Matt Gaetz was a superstar today. I want to play this entire exchange for you because it's that good. You need to see it. He really pointed out and highlighted how absurd this is. I mean, the guy, Joe Biden, committed a crime. He took the classified documents. All right, so they're going after Donald Trump all day long. And yet they're not going after Joe Biden because he's too old and too feeble. I mean, come on. That doesn't play. It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, it's not fair. Fundamentally not fair. It's not fair, and yet the Democrats are still not happy, right? They were still angry. Because how dare you say he's old? I mean, he had to have some reason not to go after him. Here's Matt Gaetz. Terrific. Watch.
Strider, the president. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met. But then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you don't think you get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one thing that you said, which is that I found that all of the elements were met. One of the elements of the relevant mishandling statute is the intent element, and what my report reflects is my judgment that, based on the evidence, I would not be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury that that intent element had been
right,
met.
But the reason you have that doubt is the senile cooperator theory, the fact that Joe Biden is so inept in responding that you can't prove the intent, which, again, I don't quibble with that conclusion, but it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent, while at the same time Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional than we might otherwise think. So I also want to go to this Biden Penn Center. Like, did it give concern to you that the Biden Penn Center, where all this classified stuff was being mishandled, was being floated by foreign governments?
Congressman, we were concerned with getting to the bottom of all of the classified documents that were recovered during the course of our...
Yeah, but what bothers me is that the money that was paying for the place where the documents were being inappropriately held, it was the Chinese and it was other foreign countries. Did that play into your analysis? Did you look into the $1 billion in foreign funding sources at the Biden Center at UPenn, for example?
Congressman, we conducted a thorough, impartial, and fair investigation, and we were very, very concerned with getting to the bottom of all the relevant questions relating to the recovered documents.
Sir, did you look into the fact that the Chinese were floating the place where this guy was keeping the documents unsecure? Yes or no?
Congressman, to the extent that we identified evidence that was relevant and significant to our investigation, we put it in our report.
Okay, well, it seemed relevant to me, maybe not to you. Another thing that seemed relevant to me is this ghostwriter, right? So the ghostwriter purposefully deletes this evidence that seems to be show culpability of Biden's crimes, and you don't charge him. Why did you not charge the ghostwriter with obstructing justice and deleting evidence?
Well, for a number of reasons that are laid out in the report, but in brief, Congressman, yes, when we interviewed the ghostwriter, he did tell us, and I'm trying to get the exact language, that one of the things on his mind, one of the things he was aware of, was that I had been appointed special counsel and was conducting an investigation.
Right, so he didn't, just so everybody knows, the ghostwriter didn't delete the recordings just as a matter of happenstance. Ghostwriter has recordings of Biden making admissions of crimes. He then learns that you've been appointed. He then deletes the information that is the evidence, and you don't charge him.
That is reflected in the report, and one of the reasons...
What does somebody have to do to get charged with obstruction of justice by you? If deleting the evidence of crimes doesn't count, what would meet the standard?
So, Congressman, as we state in the relevant chapter of the report, one of the things that Mr. Zwanitzer did not delete was transcripts of the recordings that he had created that included inculpatory evidence relating to Mr. Biden.
Oh, so if you destroy some evidence but not other evidence, that somehow absolves you of the evidence you destroy? Here's what I see. Zwaniger should have been charged, wasn't. Biden and Trump should have been treated equally. They weren't. And that is the double standard that I think a lot...
Unbelievable. I mean, so this was great. I mean, I could watch him all day on this. I just think he did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. So way to go, Matt Gaetz. Hey, thank you so much, American Patriot. I'm checking this out on my phone as I see this. So thank you for your support. Look, this is just amazing. I mean, I think that, you know, again, my sources say Robert Hur is a really, really smart guy. And so I'm like, okay, he's a smart guy. I get it. Then why didn't he moved forward with this. And then I have another source that said, well, he really and truly didn't think he could get a conviction. And it's kind of hard to move forward to a jury trial. I'm like, but why is there no penalty? Like, how does that make any sense at all? So they're going to go after Donald Trump. They're going to Mar-a-Lago. They get the FBI raid going on. They're busting out the boxes. And yet Biden gets to what? Make some notes on whatever's coming out. He has a heads up what the whole thing's going to say, and then, you know, makes requests for changes. I don't know if they got those, but I mean, come on. They were trying, and then nothing happens. How can nothing happen? I mean, why do we have two standards of justice? One for Biden and one for Trump. Think about it. One for Democrats and one for Republicans. I mean, they say we're divided. We're divided in more ways than one when you think about this, right? I mean, insane, absolutely insane. I just am disgusted by all of it. I really am. But this was amazing to see today. Just absolutely amazing. I was blown away because, you know, sometimes, you know, you're like, so Matt Gaetz really proved himself. I thought he did a fantastic job. But there were others that really did not. There's one woman in particular. Let me see if I can show you her. Jayapal, Representative Jayapal, who kind of like tries to lie in this one scene. It's pretty great. And Robert Hur, he's not having it. Take a peek.
Charges are warranted in this matter.
Correct.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Hur,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that the term
that I ultimately reached.
I know that
whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
would be a conviction.
I know that I the term willful
that
retention
report,
has a Mr. Hur, it's my time. Thank you. I know that the term willful retention has a particular legal meaning, and I want to make sure that that meaning is absolutely clear to the American people before we go any further. As you wrote in your report, to prove as a matter of law that the president, quote, willfully retained any documents, you would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt two elements. First, that the president knowingly retained or disclosed national defense charges are warranted in this matter.
Correct.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete
She's something, huh? We get a few of those. I got another one I'm going to show you. But she actually deviates and like starts getting into some race stuff. And I'm like, this is their favorite place to go, of course. But she's kind of trying to lie here. And he's good. He's not having it. And so this was just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I mean, there's so much to get into. I didn't want to overdo it with you tonight because we'll talk about it some more tomorrow. I mean, hey, this could last us all week long, right? Unbelievable. But I just keep going back to this one issue. Why is there a different standard? I don't care. Okay, he's old. You don't think you can get a conviction. You don't want to put him up on a jury stand. I think that's actually what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want to put him on a jury stand. They don't, because it's not going to be a good look. I mean, remember when everything was going down with his son and the lawyers were warning each other, and one of the points that they made was it's really not going to be a great thing to have the president of the United States up on a jury stand trying to defend his son. So they were trying to make this neat and clean and make it go away. I mean, is it me? Or is that exactly what was kind of going on here? I mean, for all his intelligence, I just don't get it. I think he probably was being very honest. He didn't think he could get a conviction. But that doesn't mean you're off the hook. I mean, the guy's guilty. That's what he said. He's absolutely guilty. And yet he gets away with it. I don't think that's right. That's not the way it should be. I mean, he is failing. He is failing. I don't know how you, I mean, some of the transcripts I've read, did you see the part about the Corvette where he's so proud? Joe Biden is so proud that he has this Corvette, but he only drives it in the driveway, apparently. And he talks about how it can go like 7 miles an hour in the driveway, and he starts going vroom, vroom, like a little kid. I mean, I tell you, my little guy, my little boy, like when he was like three, he had one of those bright yellow plastic Ferraris that you could drive in the driveway, and he'd make sounds like vroom, vroom. I mean, it kind of, once again, speaks to the aging health of the president of the United States, because, you know, as you get older, you tend to regress. And this seems like one of those moments where he's regressing. We've seen these recently. I mean, hey, he pulled some cat out of the bag at the State of the Union the other night. I don't know what was involved in that. But here he is on a more normal day. This was the day before the State of the Union. Watch.
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Is it not a little bit alarming? I mean, it's frightening the state that he is in. Indeed. And Mad Max, thank you so much. Oh my goodness, you guys are so generous tonight. You like your independent creators. That is so awesome. So I appreciate it. And I thank you all for liking this. I see Don's on your case, and we've got Carmen on your case to make sure you like and share. But Mad Max, thank you very much. Look, to answer your question, you said they get away with the double standard because we in America, we let them get away with it. Yeah. And that's why things have to change. I'm going to talk about Lara Trump and what she's doing at the RNC, which I wholly support in just a moment. But she gets it. It has to change. Like, I think so many of us, you're watching here, you understand that it has to change. It's not right. And they're doubling down in ways that I think are, frankly, pretty, you know, they talk about, oh, he's so dangerous. He's dangerous for democracy. Let me tell you. Joe Biden and the Democrats are dangerous for this great republic. And I know that because I know how they're trying to manipulate and effectively squash certain pieces of information. And heck, we've been seeing it ever since. Oh, let's go back to 2020. I mean, go back even further, right? Go back to 2016 and 2017. He comes into office and Hillary Clinton and the rest of them want you to think that somehow he's only there because the Russians ensured that he would be there. I mean, think about that. What a crazy, insane thing to say. So insane that Jimmy Carter, who probably had dementia at the time, if he doesn't now, Jimmy Carter said that. Up on stage with John McEachum, who's an MSNBC historian. And he said, yep, I'm pretty sure this is not a legitimate president. He said it's not a legitimate president because the Russians stole the election. I mean, this is what they were pushing, guys, all right? So, you know, Mad Max, you're right. It's not fair. We let him get away with it. We can't let him get away with it because this is a country. And last I checked, we have this handy Constitution, which, yes, I keep on my desk or by my night table. Because, you know, you got to remind yourself from time to time these days. It's that insane. So, I agree with you. We can't let them get away with it. And I think that 2024 is going to be about a lot of that. And so we'll get into that and we'll talk about what Lara's doing to try and really shore things up. Because, hey, we got our work cut out for us, all right? And I say that as somebody who, let me just point out, like, if the Democrats had good policy, if they wanted to cut taxes, if they wanted to lessen regulation, if they wanted to give more back to the small business owners and the individuals that are out there creating for our economy, if they wanted to have an actual border, if they wanted to encourage choice in education, vouchers in education, if they actually wanted to have a strong military, you notice his budget that came out just yesterday actually cuts military spending. If they wanted to have a strong military while simultaneously not getting us involved in every single conflict that comes around, what, for the benefit of who? The military-industrial complex? Don't get me started. I mean, listen, if they actually cared about some of these core issues, like they pretend to and in the past had said they did, then, hey, you know what? I might be on board. I like to think that I'm not entirely partisan. I don't have to just vote for one side. You know, Trump said this actually just yesterday on CNBC. I thought it was terrific. He made the point that he's just practical. And that's the truth of it. I think most Americans are just practical. So how many Democrats have I talked to that said they're voting for Trump or they voted for Trump last time around? Because you know what? He represents values that they think are important for the country. You look at the unions today, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the union chief, you know, the big deal, UAW, I mean, wow. They've admitted, some of these union chiefs have actually come out and admit, one of them admitted it on my former colleague Neil Cavuto's show on Fox, that, yeah, you know, they're supporting President Biden, the union's supporting President Biden, but he said our members are not going to vote for him because, duh, you guys aren't helping them. Like people need government to look out for the people. And when you say we're going to fly in 320,000 people from across the border in the dead of the night to cities and not even tell the cities that they're getting them, you know, that's not helping the people. It's not helping the people when you say, okay, we're going to tax more because we're going to go after billionaires. But you're not really going after the billionaires, Joe, because guess what? All your private equity friends that donate big time to your campaign, they get that private equity fat cat tax loophole. So they're actually never going to have to spend as much proportionately of their income in taxes as, say, the couple that makes $401,000 because you've chosen that as a magical number. You will suppress the middle class. You've done it already, buddy. And you know what? The middle class is saying, we've had it. We've had enough. You're not protecting us. You're not caring about our communities. And the media, same thing over there. You think that Fox or MSNBC care about you? They don't. I mean, they really don't. They care about making money. They care about ratings. And they care about keeping the status quo enough so that they don't tick off anyone that badly in Washington, D.C. I mean, I think about my former colleague, Tucker Carlson, who went through something quite similar, frankly, just at a later date to what I went through. I had the 8 o'clock show opposite him on Fox. And, you know, said some things that I stand by the way, regarding the insanity of shutting down an entire country, an entire economy to protect people that did need protection from COVID. But you know what? You can't turn it into CNN's airplane crash crisis 24/7. You do have to be an adult about it and recognize that some people will be vulnerable and other people not. And then you live accordingly, right? And instead, what happened? Oh, in New York, you had the governor of New York, Cuomo, sending people with COVID into nursing homes, thereby infecting the people that they needed to keep safe, all while locking down everything, right? I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I said all that, and now I'm here, which is way better. I guarantee you any day of the week, because independent journalism, in my estimation, really and truly is what the future is about. It's what's, you know, it's what we need to be. I think any journalist that's decent has gotten to the point where you don't want to work for the networks because you realize, oh, you know what? They've got sponsors that are, you know, more influential with content than the journalists themselves. Or when you think about, and again, it's at both networks. When you think about MSNBC, I mean, they get away with a little bit more because everyone is fine for some reason with that. But the Fox journalists have to be really careful. I also think that Fox was very interested in having Nikki Haley there and also interested in having Ron DeSantis there because this is probably who the Murdochs wanted in because, you know, you can control those people. You can't really control Trump. I mean, you can't. They tried. You cannot control Donald Trump. And what you see is what you get. He often speaks in some ways too honestly, frankly, with the media, and it gets him in trouble. And so they didn't want somebody like that. They wanted sort of the predictable person that you could control and that would be sort of on the puppet strings, because that's what we've always had. And I think the people have said, okay, that hasn't really worked. Joe Biden's on the puppet strings. He's on some strings, right? He's on something. He's only allowed to talk to this reporter or that reporter. He says everybody's going to get mad at him if he dares to jump out of line. And so all of this contributes to an environment where I really feel like your everyday folks are not being heard. And to what Mad Max is saying, you know what? They're getting away with this. They're getting away with this over and over and over again. It's one of the reasons why I created, I'm really proud, I'm going to put the name up here, 76 Research, my brand new company. I've been working on it for quite some time with a longtime friend who comes from Wall Street. I mean, he managed billions of dollars, and he was frustrated because he's like, okay, the Wall Street institutions have their bias. I'm frustrated because I'm like, the media institutions have their bias. And who's looking at the government institutions have their bias? Who's looking out for everyday investors? No one. No one. Because I've worked at all the big financial networks. I'll tell you, when the market's on fire, they're never going to put a bear on TV. And when the markets are way down, they're never going to put a bull, because it's all about ratings in the here and now. They're not helping you look forward towards the future. Government cares only about politics, right? So they just want their crowd in there at all times. And then you get over the Wall Street institutions, and they're so terrified of government, and they're so terrified of the PC police that they're suddenly saying, okay, we need DEI everything. And they don't care about profits anymore. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so this is why I started 76 Research. You can go over there and get your free guide to independent investing. I encourage you to do it. A lot of really valuable information there. Very, very valuable. I want to show you what's going on right now at CNN and what's going on at MSNBC. And one of the comments that one of the lawmakers made today, because what they're doing right now is doubling down on this good versus evil thing in a very eerie way. A lot of pressure on Lara Trump right now to save the country, shall we say, and get this voting system better situated so that I think Republicans have a better chance. I'm going to get to that. But first, a good shout out to our friends over at Balance of Nature. I am not somebody who's great about taking my vitamins. I never have been until these guys came along and they were like, listen, it's really, really good. It's gluten-free. It's all healthy stuff. And you'll be able to get all your veggies and all your fruits in with just a veggie and fruit capsule. So I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And anyway, I started taking them several months ago. I feel terrific. I really do. I feel terrific. I feel like I have more energy than ever before. And I think a lot of it is a result of the Balance of Nature capsules. I want to just give them a shout out. 1-800-246-8751. You can call them. You can go check out the website. They get a terrific website. Terrific story, by the way. They've been around like 20 years. They get thousands every month of people writing in saying what I'm just saying. Like, gee, I feel really good on this stuff. So balanceofnature.com, all good, healthy things. Go take a look at it. And if you decide you want to give it a try, I encourage you to do so. Make sure you use my discount code, because I've got the best discount code. It's 35% off plus another $10 off plus free shipping. So there you go. I don't think anybody can beat it. It's code word Trish, balanceofnature.com. Do go check them out. All right, let's get to the media here, because this is wild to me. Absolutely, positively wild. I mean, they hate him so much over at CNN that Chris Wallace had a woman named Kara Swisher, who's kind of like a big deal tech journalist. He had her on the program recently, and I don't know why a tech journalist is suddenly talking politics. Like, can't she just, talk tech? Well, she got in there and she started giving her whole political spiel, why, he can't win and how this is the strategy. So now she's giving her two cents on strategy, and it's bad and it's scary. And it shows you they will go below the belt as much as they have to. Here's Kara Swisher. On Chris Wallace's show.
Greatest asset, the shamelessness of him, is then Biden has to get in there very hard and go rapist, racist, fascist over and over and over again. And then the trials are happening at the same time. He's just had to pay. He's just $93 million right. poor right now. And just hammer it in with those three things. Rapist, racist, fascist.
But here's the thing.
Thank
voters,
you. That's my... That's
voter,
my
voters have...
Wow. All right. So that's where they're going to get him on what he's a fascist. I don't even like saying these things. Okay. I really don't. I mean, you want to talk fascist. We talked about Letitia James yesterday, right? Remember getting booed there in New York City by the New York City Fire Department as they shouted Trump, 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 as she came to the stage. And then no sooner did that happen than they all get a note saying, hey, you do that again, or if you know anybody that's going to do that, you report them, you're in big trouble, because apparently you're not allowed to have a First Amendment as a firefighter in New York City these days. Letitia James is the prosecutor against Trump that is trying to swindle him, if you ask me, for $500 million. I say swindle because it's so nuts, the idea that somehow this prosecutor gets in the way of a transaction between an individual and his or her bank. How do you like that? You want to have like prosecutors coming out of the woodwork saying, you know what? We don't think you really could have gotten that home equity line of credit because we don't think your home was really worth that. Even though the bank said it was, even though you said it was, we don't think that. You understand that could just open a complete disaster. And it's so moronic. I've been a business reporter my entire career. So this particular case out of all of them really sticks out at me. Unbelievable stuff. But they're going to go after him for all of those things that you heard Kara Swisher, the tech reporter. You know, why can't you just talk about TikTok? The tech reporter saying. And, Chris Wallace, you know, he's lapping it up. And he did say to her, he started quoting these new polls. So I don't know if you guys have seen these. Every single poll I have looked at recently, every stinking one of them is all for Trump. I only saw one poll that showed any weakness. And, of course, I think you have to pay attention to it. It showed he had some weakness with women. And he's got to close that gap somehow. But basically, every single one, including a brand new one out, I want to share with you, that puts him way ahead. New poll reveals Americans trust Donald Trump over Biden to lead the U.S. as president. This is absolutely amazing. Americans have more trust in former President Donald Trump to lead the U.S., I'm quoting from Fox News, as commander-in-chief than President Biden. This is a new poll just released between the two candidates. When asked who Americans would trust more to lead the U.S. as president between the two, a new ABC Ipsos poll found that more respondents trust Trump, 36%, over Biden, who received 33%. About 30% of respondents said they would trust neither candidate. Okay, that's fair. But, you know, that's a three-point spread. I've seen a lot that have been five-point spreads. I've seen some in some of these swing states that are like 10-point spreads. Now, this never happened before. Remember, Trump tends to poll kind of poorly. When you drill down and you look at the issues, what you often see is that there's a much larger spread. You go to immigration, you'll see like 20 points ahead, Donald Trump to Joe Biden. You go to the economy, similar story. But then when you're like, okay, well, who are you going to pick? It becomes much more narrow, I think, because people are still afraid. They're still afraid because of all of the sort of vitriol, you know, around him. And it's real. It's real. It makes me wonder, did you guys see that Ken Buck announced today that he's out, he's leaving, he's taken off, he's not going to be part of Congress anymore? I mean, we knew this was going to happen. He had already communicated that. We just didn't know it was going to happen so soon. And you know who else did not know it was going to happen so soon? And this is a little alarming. And I just wonder, what are they promising, Mr. Buck? Like, what's the deal? What are they giving you that you're making this quick exit, Irish exit out of Congress? I mean, I get it. You don't really like being on Capitol Hill. Who would? I mean, I can't even imagine having that job. But Mike Johnson was saying, this is a little bit of a surprise. Here are his comments here.
Supporting this TikTok bill.
I was surprised by Ken's announcement. I'm looking forward to talking with him about that.
I didn't know about Trump not supporting this TikTok bill.
I'm not so sure about that.
How will it impact you being able to wrestle more?
Well, the strategy is still the same. Build consensus, keep the coalition together. I'm confident we can do that. We have big things ahead of us, but I think everybody understands the stakes and the necessity of working together. Sometimes we have to give up our preferences, but we're never going to compromise core principles. But we'll get the job done. We'll get the job done.
What are you saying on the TikTok bill?
Mike Johnson being caught by surprise that Buck is out. And so the problem here now is there's like a one vote difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And so that's a little bit scary. I mean, at least, you know, if the Republicans have the upper hand, hopefully we don't have insane total chaos. But the way this is currently looking, this is frightening. I mean, you could actually see Joaquin Jeffries as Speaker of the House by the time we get to the election in November. So I'm like, seriously, like, Ken, like, why? Why now? And I wonder, I mean, when you talk about these institutions being ever so slightly corrupt, did he get like some big deal? Like they're gonna give him a great deal and that's why he left? I don't know. But you know, when Santos left, and by the way, he was a train wreck, right? We're not defending him in any way, but when Santos left, that seat went to a Democrat. And so now you have to say, okay, could Ken Buck's seat go to a Democrat? And that's going to really, once again, shift this balance of power. It's one of the reasons why our friends over at American Prosperity are trying really hard to make sure that come November, we have more conservatives than we have lefties in the House and in the Senate. And so this is so important right now because, you know, if Donald Trump wins, and I think he's got a real good shot, ladies and gentlemen, a really good shot. But again, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Lara, which we'll get to. A really good shot at winning. So if he wins, that's great. But you got to have everything sort of the wind at your back, right? You want to have the House. You want to have the Senate because you want to be able to get your policies through. And he's great with policies. He's great with trade policies. He's great with border policy. And he's good with economic policy. Fantastic with economic policy. But the only way that you're really going to be able to get your agenda done and across is if you have the House and the Senate. So AmericansForProsperity.org, go check them out. They're doing what they can. And it's important right now. It really is important because there is so much at stake. So Kara Swisher is on Chris Wallace's show. And just if you're joining us, let me remind you again, the choice words that she had to say. And, you know, Chris is like nodding his head. Unbelievable.
Greatest asset, the shamelessness of him, is then Biden has to get in there very hard and go rapist, racist, fascist over and over and over again. And then the trials are happening at the same time. He's just had to pay. He's just $93 million
right.
poorer right now. And just hammer it in with those three things. Rapist, racist, fascist.
But here's the thing.
Thank
voters.
You.
That's lovely. I mean, I was watching this. Or actually listening to it. I was actually listening to it. See, I listen to all sides. I actually really do. And I think it's important that you hear all sides. Because you need to know where they're coming from. I was listening to this and I thought, wow, like this is where they're going to go. Because what else have they got? They're going to go there and then they're going to go to another place, a really dark place, as we heard this member of Congress do just this afternoon.
President Biden fully complied with the investigation conducted by Special Counsel Hur, who did not find evidence sufficient to warrant criminal charges. Despite this outcome, Republicans have used the special counsel's report to further their longstanding efforts to re-elect the former white supremacist in chief, Donald Trump, who faces 40 criminal charges related to the mishandling of classified.
Let's play it again.
Chief Donald Trump, who faces 40 criminal, the former white supremacist in chief, Donald Trump, who faces 40 criminal charges related to the mishandling of classified documents.
She called him the former white supremacist in chief. I mean, wow. And then it gets worse because there was this little moment on MSNBC the other night when it turned out that Nikki Haley didn't stand a shot in H-E-double-L, which I told you she didn't. I told you Ron DeSantis didn't either. Anyway, they're freaking out, similar to what you see on the Chris Wallace show or Cori Bush. Here is MSNBC totally losing it and saying some really wild stuff. And I have a chart that I'm going to show you that's going to explain why they're saying this crazy stuff. But watch.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly from the Tea Party on. But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea.
I mean, I can't listen to it again. We got you. Okay. We got you, Joy. And you see the reason they're doing this? Let me show you. It's because of this. See this chart? I'm going to make this bigger so you can see it for real in the screen. This was put out actually by a guy over at the FT, the Financial Times today. And he says, let's take a look, that American politics are going through this radical sort of racial realignment with non-white voters shifting away from Democrats and towards Republicans. So check this chart out. It's amazing. And look at when it started, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. 2016. Look at how it goes up by 2020. And then look at this one. Woo! Between 2020 and 2024. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I think it's absolutely amazing. And this tells you the whole story, right? So now you understand why you have people like Joy Reid over at MSNBC saying what she was just saying, or the woman in Congress saying what she was just saying, why you have the tech reporter saying what she's saying. I mean, they got to promote something here. So they're going to continue to promote this idea that somehow, you know, Republicans are just really bad people. And that Donald Trump is a really, really bad person. But I think a lot of minorities, I think a lot of black Americans, I think a lot of Hispanic Americans, you know what? People aren't that complicated. They want what is better for them and better for their families. And what they have realized, and by the way, all the data proves this, I've looked at median incomes under both the Biden administration and under the Trump administration. And what we see over and over and over again is, in fact, that the income, the median income under Donald Trump grew at levels that we hadn't seen in 50 years. So your everyday Americans stood a much better shot under Donald Trump than they stood or stand right now under none other than Joe Biden. And so therein lies a big part of the problem, for sure. I mean, and so they're going to have to try and figure out, like, how do we deal with this? Like, how do we correct this? And they're going to try and correct this by telling you that somehow it's all the bad Republicans. Here's another woman on Chris Wallace's show. I want to play this one for you because, again, she's got this idea somehow that, again, it's the Republicans that are so horrendous.
The wider
awful
problem here is that what we see is that Republicans have become an anti-immigrant party. When you see the case in Georgia, of course it's a terrible case. Of course it's absolutely horrific. But it is not actually emblematic of what happens in most places with migrants. Migrants aren't exactly flooding across the border who are criminals. They're not being let out of mental institutions, as Trump says. This is simply not true. In fact, what we see is that migrants actually commit less crimes than their native-born. The wider problem here is that what we see is that Republicans have become an anti-immigrant party.
So that's what they're going to tell you. Okay, everyone, they want you to think that you're a bad person if you vote for Donald Trump, that you're voting for fascism, that you're voting for anti-immigration, that you're somehow racist, sexist, you name it. But I don't think people actually buy that. And that's why you're seeing this amazing sort of shift in the demographics between the parties. And that's why you're actually seeing all of these polls say, yeah, you know what? I think Trump can do a better job. So now it becomes a situation where, as some of you are pointing out, you've got to actually make sure it's an even playing field. You've got to have a fair system, okay? This absentee ballot stuff, hoy, right? I mean, wow, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the Democrats figured that one out. I mean, they had Zuckerberg, right? Like, giving tons of money for all that ballot harvesting. Well, two can play that game if they're willing. I think Lara Trump is willing. I'm going to show you what she's saying. Lara Trump and Michael Whatley, the new heads of the RNC, replacing Romney's niece, they just came in and they fired 60 people. Like, boom, gone. And I'm telling you, they had to do it. They had to do this because, one, look, Lara needs her own people. People that are going to be loyal to her and loyal to the presumptive nominee for the GOP. But perhaps more importantly and more urgently, I don't think the RNC could afford these 60 people. In other words, the RNC was bleeding cash. And she's got to make a point. She's got to show people that are going to give money to the RNC. She's got to show her donors, you know what? We mean business. And so we're not going to be spending 70 some odd thousand dollars on flowers, as it is alleged the previous head of the RNC did. No, no, no. We're actually going to be hiring people to get the job done. And part of getting the job done is making sure that there is a level playing field come November. So I want to play you some sound. She was recently talking about this very issue in a very articulate way. And I was like, man, she gets it.
The RNC needs to be the leanest, most lethal political fighting machine we've ever seen in American history. That is the goal over the next 9.5 months. If I am elected to this position, I can assure you there will not be any more $70,000 or whatever exorbitant amount of money it was spent on flowers. Every single penny will go to the number one and the only job of the RNC. That is electing Donald J. Trump as president of the United States and saving this country. We have no time to waste. We've got to get to work. We've got a lot of money to raise. And we need to ensure that every penny goes to those things that I just mentioned. Otherwise, you're right, in perpetuity, the Democrats are going to beat us. The RNC needs to be the leanest, most lethal.
So she gets it, and she's going to do her part, but she's not going to win a lot of friends within the RNC. I mean, I think that's part of why she's getting rid of 60 people. She's got to restructure this thing. It's like a business, right? You come in, and you actually have to restructure it. And I think that was the move that she was making. Look, we're going to get down to brass tacks. We're going to restructure. We're going to fire people. We're going to actually make sure that people are doing the job that they need to do in order to get us ahead for 2024, because there's so much at stake. And so my hat's off to her. I think that she's going to do a good job. I think she's a fantastic communicator. I can't say that. She's also a very lovely person, as is her husband's a very smart guy and great person as well. I mean, this is a good team. And so she's going to go in there and she's going to remake this thing. I don't know a lot about Mr. Whatley, but he's hopefully going to be sort of the guy who can follow through with her vision. And I think she's smart and I think she's going to get the job done. But we don't have a lot of time to waste. I mean, let's be honest, right? There's not a lot of time to waste. And they're coming at him in so many absolutely ridiculous, positively ridiculous ways that really, I think, cause us all to be pretty darn concerned. I mean, really concerned, because what is our future if we're living in a world, right, where, you know, it's their way or the highway all of the time? You know, I don't know as he's going to make it to the finish line. I don't know as he can make it to the finish line. This would be Biden that I'm talking about. I think that Biden is actually probably not as well as he purports to be. And I think it's going to be really trying. I think people need to remember it's worse than Biden, right? You're voting for Kamala or you're voting for Trump. And so once that starts getting framed, maybe it crystallizes it even more. So instead of a 3-point or 5-point spread difference, you're going to actually see something far more significant. You know, it's pretty incredible. They're so angry. They're so mad. They're so concerned at these networks right now. I'm looking at some of the sound that's coming into us here in this live edition of the Trish Regan Show, which you know is live. You know is live because Drew's off, and that means Trish is in charge of some of the production elements. But We'll get there. We'll get through. I prefer doing it live because it's more real that way. I'm looking at your comments and, yeah, I wonder what Ken Buck is eventually going to do. I really do. I'm laughing. He's just saying Julian Assange for director at the CIA. Look, the CIA, it's amazing, right? When you find out that there's an article in the New York Times just a couple of weeks ago that they've had this massive, massive thing underway in Ukraine ever since 2014. And the whole deal with it was apparently they were there to kind of just sort of spy and see what was going on vis-a-vis Russia, see whether or not we could trust Ukraine. But the whole thing was, don't let it escalate out of control. What do you think happened? Completely escalated out of control. This is interesting. This is some sound that just came in. I want to show you Ken Buck taking kind of a parting shot here. You know, maybe the answer is you don't need these guys. Maybe you just don't need some of the politicians that aren't going to really do the work. I mean, it's not pleasant. It's not fun. I get it. You know what? There's a reason I'm not in politics. But hey, if you're going to be there, do the job. Do your part for your constituents and your
leaving
country.
Leaving Congress at the end of next week.
I am, yes. I'm resigning my seat and creating a vacancy in my district.
Why?
Well, everywhere I go in Colorado, Dan, I hear that people are not happy with Trump and they're not happy with Biden. And I think we need to change our electoral laws here. And I have a passion for that, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to find the right organization to join, and I'm going to start working on that issue. We have to have better candidates up and down the ballot, not just president, but Senate, House, local offices. We've got to find better ways to elect candidates and bring America together.
You already had announced that you were going to not run for re-election. Why leave now and leave a vacancy in an already very narrow majority for your party?
Yeah, because it's important to get in the mix of this election cycle and start talking about the issues that people recognize are such a problem right now.
You know, my colleague Melanie Zanona is reporting that there is such tension among House Republicans that many of them aren't even going to a retreat that's going to happen at the end of this week. Is that tension part of why you're leaving so abruptly?
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number third ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me.
But that could be personal.
It could be personal, but a lot of this is personal, and that's the problem. Instead of having decorum, instead of operating in a professional manner, this place has just evolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
How much of the fact that you are leaving March 22nd, next Friday, how much does that have to do with the fact that Trump is the presumptive nominee and you're not exactly a fan?
Well, I don't think whether he was the nominee or not, I think our system is broken in how we choose candidates, and I want to get involved in that process.
Is it really that miserable right now to be? I mean, from the outside in, it doesn't look that fun. From the inside in, is it that bad that you're saying I'm done?
It is the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it's the worst year in 40, 50 years to be in Congress. But I'm leaving because I think there's a job to do out there that I want to go do.
Anybody that you want to fill your seat?
I have not gotten involved in that, and I'm going to stay out of it.
And there's a primary in Colorado at the end of June?
June 25th is the primary election in Colorado, right?
And that, okay. Leaving Congress at the end of next week.
I am, yes. I'm resigning my seat and creating a vacancy in my district.
Why?
Okay, so good riddance. You know what? You don't want to deal with it. I get it. It's a miserable place to be. Of course, I get it. So you're out. But why do you leave your colleagues in such a lurch? Like, why are you leaving in a position where now it's just a one vote spread difference between the left and the right? I mean, that just kind of tells me, like, you're not really committed. What kind of job offer did you get to go fix the election system, right? Congressman Buck, I mean, why would you leave the party, the country, at a time when actually, you know what? It's so close, it's so razor thin that if your seat goes to a Dem, like, we could be seeing Jeffries as Speaker of the House in all seriousness. And so I don't buy this. I find this to be pretty concerning. Look, there's a lot of problems in America right now. Inflation is one of them. You hear me go on and on. Let me share with this. Consumer prices rose 3.2% in February from a year earlier. This is according to the Labor Department. It came out today. It was higher than what economists anticipated, which was 3.1%. Just to keep it in mind, the Fed is shooting for like 2% inflation a year, and we're at 3.2%, more than people thought. So inflation is still strong. And they're going to say, oh, well, it's come down. It's come down from 9.1% because it was 9.1%. But you know what? It's still up. It's like a ladder, right? Like it just keeps going up, 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 up. That's what happens with inflation. So we're up better than 18% right now from when Joe Biden came to office. Think about that. I mean, this is not sustainable, people. This is not good, not to mention how much we have in debt. It's crazy. So I'm just going to plug my friends at Legacy again. I mean, absolutely crazy. 1-866-589-0560. One of the most trusted ways to beat inflation over the long term, is through an investment in something like gold. They have silver there too for you traders out there that want to watch it go up or down. I mean, a lot of people actually do think it could go up because silver goes into the manufacturing of so many materials. But gold is something that I always keep an eye on because I look at it, at least within my own portfolio, not giving you any advice or anything. You know, I have to be very careful about that. But I do look at it and put it as part of my own portfolio so that I can try and even out some of those fluctuations in the long term so that, you know, my dollars are still worth what I thought they were going to be worth when eventually I retire, which will probably be never. Did you see Ben Shapiro? Ben Shapiro did a big thing on this, I guess, today. He's talking about it. And it's funny because actually Donald Trump said something really interesting yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he went there. I just can't believe he went there because this is like the Holy Grail. Like most politicians are never willing to go towards retirement benefits. And yet Donald Trump said something on CNBC saying, look, we kind of need to relook at this system. We need to be practical about it because it's not sustainable. Like we're going to go belly up pretty soon. If we go belly up, then that's probably not a very good thing, right? I mean, you think you get inflation now, just wait for it. And so Ben Shapiro actually talked about this. I don't know if you guys listen to Ben Shapiro. I think he's terrific. Very, very smart guy. And let me see if I can find this sound for you because it's very interesting. He's saying basically, you know what? People shouldn't be retiring at 65 years old. I mean, it's a little tricky, right? Because you've paid into this stuff your whole life. And yet it's a giant Ponzi scheme. Okay, everyone, it is a giant Ponzi scheme. That is what Social Security really is. And so it stinks. And it's just the reality of it. So here it is. Let me see if I can find this. I want to show you the video of it because I think he said it on his podcast. But he's basically saying, like, what are you doing? You're 65 years old, you're retiring, and the demographics have shifted in America so much that people are living to such a longer age that we're just bankrupting the system. And then you get those nice infusions, right? You get all those infusions of, inflation went up 9% thanks to Biden, so we're going to give a 9% increase in Social Security, which, again, the country cannot afford. I can't stress that enough, how much we cannot afford this. Really. I mean, so I got it here. I want to play this for you. This is Shapiro talking about the age of 65 as retirement.
And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy. Joe Biden, if that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president. Hey, Joe Biden is 81 years old. The retirement age in the United States at which you start to receive Social Security and you are eligible for Medicare is 65. Joe Biden has technically been eligible for Social Security and Medicare for 16 years, and he wants to continue in office until he is 86, which is 19 years past when he would be eligible for retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick. But put all of that aside, just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you will receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years. That's crazy talk. That is not fiscally sustainable. The notion that if you have to raise the retirement age to 67 or 68, that everyone is going to fall apart. My parents are that age. My parents are not retired. And they shouldn't retire. It would be very bad for them to retire. By the way, it's disrespectful to people who are 67, 68, 69 years old to suggest that they are in the same shape as people who are 65 were in 1940. It's not true at all. Have you met a 65-year-old lately? 65-year-olds are not old in the United States. They're not. 68-year-olds are not old in the United States. Again, Joe Biden thinks he's not old, and that dude is running for president again, and that dude actually is old, and he's 81. I failed to see how a country in which our entire leadership class is 80 plus is telling you that we should have a retirement age of 65. It makes no sense at all. And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy. Joe Biden, if that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president.
Darn it. What am I going to do? I got to get Drew back. This is like unacceptable, right, guys? I've just been talking. Oh my goodness. Well, it's getting late at night. It's past my bedtime, 11 o'clock. okay, Drew, you cannot take another day off because I got to get you guys in the audio booth, right? Like you'll be able to help me on this. Anyway, wonderful to see you all tonight. My point just is that, there's a lot to what Ben's saying, but I think it's going to be very tricky, very, very tricky for him, that would be any president, to be able to sell that because people are like, hey, you know, I want to retire. And if they want to retire and they've been working their whole lives, they're not going to like the idea of it suddenly going away. It is great to see you. Thank you. Make sure you subscribe. We have so many people here tonight. We have so many likes. Thank you. Don will be very proud of you. Very, very proud. Michael, good to see you back here. He's over on Facebook. We have so many of you on YouTube. So many of you have joined the team. Thanks. I will see you tomorrow. Good night.